top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning, this is the morning news for today, Tuesday, May 30th, 2023, and I am your presenter, Jade George. In the headlines, United Workers' Party President Lennox Linton says the mission of the opposition forces is to liberate Dominica from the grip of individuals who claimed ownership of the country for the last two decades. And global. Barbados Prime Minister Mia Amo-Motley extended condolences to the families of the 19 children who died in the fire incident in Madia Secondary School in Guyana. And undocumented people arriving in Europe by sea has skyrocketed this year due to conflicts in areas like Ukraine and Sudan, global inequality, and the climate crisis, with many risking death to make their way. News is brought to you with the very kind compliments of West Indies Communications Enterprise. The details of these coming up next.
Right on cue. Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
According to President of the United Workers' Party, Lennox Linton, the upcoming rally on May 31st, 2023, will be a battle to start the process of liberating Dominica from the grip of those who have laid claim to the country in the last two decades and believes they can act with complete impunity. According to him, the current economic setbacks are due to the selfish actions of government officials who prioritize their personal interests over the interests of ordinary Dominicans.
And this fight that we're embarking on is a fight for the rescue of Dominica. Dominica needs to be rescued from the clutches of those who in the last 20 years have decided the country belongs to them, they have hijacked it, and they're going to do what they want with the country. So that when you hear of all of the sad stories in healthcare, all of the failures in the economy that have people struggling and struggling harder and harder every day to survive in this country. When you hear all those stories, you realize those in government, it is not the people they're looking out for, they are looking out for themselves. And in fact, they're doing wonderfully well, amassing their millions, amassing their mansions, while the people's interests gallop to hell in a handbasket, while people become poorer and poorer, and while the struggle to survive gets harder and harder with every passing day. That cycle has to end.
Linton laments the mistreatment and tyrannical behavior directed towards the citizens of Dominica by those who have taken over the electoral process and rendered it ineffective in electing a government that reflects the people's choices. He says this must cease.
That brutality, that oppression against the people of Dominica by those who have hijacked the electoral process and made it unfit for the purpose of electing government that is an expression of the will of the people, it has to come to an end. And that is why the people will gather in their numbers on the 31st of May, because they feel it's time to reclaim their country. It is time to rescue their country. It's also time to reset the economy of Dominica, because there's nobody living in Dominica right now who can fairly argue that the economy of Dominica is working for the best interests of the people of Dominica. Not when the Prime Minister can get up and boast that over $214 million a year leaves our shores and goes elsewhere through foreigners employed in Dominica in construction and in agriculture. Over $214 million. He said it goes through Western Union and MoneyGram. That was his statement to the public a few months ago, which tells you that where the public sector wage bill is not close to $200 million a year, but you have foreigners coming into your country, taking the country's hard-earned money in employment, income, in agriculture, and construction.
president of the United Workers' Party, Lennox Linton. 64 individuals received certificates of completion from a parenting program held for members of the communities of Bataka to Antrim. The program took place from March to May was spearheaded by the Child Abuse Prevention Unit of the Social Welfare Division under the Ministry of Health, Wellness and Social Services in collaboration with the Ministry of Environment, Rural Modernization, Kalinago Upliftment and Constituency Empowerment. Environment Minister and MP for the Salibia Constituency, Kozia Frederick, urged the parents to apply what they have learned to the lives of their families and the community. He said community investment in the lives of its residents is significant and will be maintained in the entire Kalinago territory. He highlighted how the Social Welfare Division and Child Prevention collaborated to create a parenting workshop with professionals who have lifelong experiences in their personal lives and professional work, and emphasized that the goal was to leave the program as a better person and a parent.
We can move, we can break those borders and use the resources at our hands in a better way. And so we have this wonderful collaboration. And so we're wrapping up the second piece of the parenting workshop. And throughout the workshop, you have interacted with professionals who have had lifelong experiences in their personal life, but also a lot of experience based on their professional work. So I'm hoping that you will leave, or you have left this program being a better person, and by extension to that, being a better parent. Not only for yourself and your children, but also for the entire community that would have grew you up as a child.
Minister for the Environment and Parliamentary Representative for the Salibia Constituency, Mr. Kozia Frederick. The program covered communication in the family, conflict resolution, helping your child succeed in school, child abuse, signs and effects of how to protect your child from abuse, roles and responsibilities of parents and children, managing your finances, coping with daily stress and frustration, domestic violence and positive health habits. Coordinator of the Child Prevention Unit, Ms. Gemma Azil, thanked the 56 men and 104 women who successfully finished the parenting program.
So a total of 21 men and 43 women completed this program from Bataka to Concord. However, in total, when we look at the entire program from Siniku to Concord, we had a total number of 160 persons completing our parenting program, with the participants including 56 men and 104 women. That is commendable. Because so many times we have these programs and we see the women, and we see the mostly women, but to have 56 men complete this parenting program and this same 56 men is still asking when is the next program, it is very commendable.
And that was coordinator of the Child Prevention Units, Ms. Gemma Azel. The Dominica Chess Federation congratulates the students who participated in the chess tournament held on May 16th and the 23rd at the Dominica State College. Chess players continue to learn, enjoy, and excel at this amazing game while testing their competitive skills among themselves. The following winners were awarded in a presentation at the college on Thursday, May 25th, for their outstanding performance in the tournament. First place, Cameron Severa. Second place, Levi Gilbert. And third place, Jarrell Francis. The Dominica Chess Federation is pleased to observe such events and salutes the other sponsors, Emerald Movies and Nero's Banking Delights, who supported the tournament organizers in fostering continuous improvement among chess players. The Federation says it looks forward to much more such activities, especially as it continues to roll out its Chess in Schools program, an initiative which is expected to lead to more students playing the game and ultimately leading to inter-school tournaments, as playing chess is known to have many benefits, including stimulating the brain, promoting strategic thinking, problem-solving skills, as well as improving attention and cognitive functions. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt says the government is making better preparations to ensure infrastructure can withstand any assault from the Atlantic hurricane season. The Caribbean island witnessed some of the most devastating effects of Hurricane Maria when, in 2017, a Category 5 storm destroyed 90% of its housing stock. Mr. Skerritt says since then, better building practices and techniques have been employed to ensure the infrastructure can withstand any onslaught.
We employ new engineering practices and techniques, and we believe that they're working. In our road construction, we have also employed new engineering techniques and methods. Our homes, where we have focused heavily on resilience building, because what we want to have is that every home in Dominica can be treated as a hurricane shelter. I think Dominica can be used as a case study. I think Caribbean countries need to study what happened in Dominica and what has been our response. Because the reality is, every one of our countries in the Caribbean is at risk and is vulnerable to natural disasters. We are in a much better position now than we were in 2017. And I believe that if we were to be visited by a hurricane, Dominica would be a much better place to withstand the impact of a hurricane on us.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt. Attorney Gabriel Christian believes that Dominica has been colonized by a group of kleptocrats in the pay of foreign masters. He claims these include individuals such as the Chinese at the airport project, who place signs stating no photographs are to be taken of a project being built with public funds. He implies that this lack of transparency is not only concerning, but it also raises questions about the accountability of our government. If we cannot even document the work being done on public projects, how can we be sure that our tax dollars are being used appropriately? Christian points out that it is imperative that our government be held accountable for their actions and that they operate with transparency and openness. Without this, it becomes difficult to trust those in power and to have faith in the democratic process.
And they've perverted our electoral system. So right now, today, as an independent, and I say this inverted commas here, because I do not believe we're independent, I believe we've been colonized by a bunch of kleptocrats in the pay of foreign masters. Foreign masters such as the Chinese, who had their airport project recently, I'm not sure whether they were compelled to bring it down, placed signs. What did the signs say? Did the signs say that photographs are not to be taken? The construction project, a project being built with public funds? Is that the democracy that supposedly exists in Dominica? We are citizens of Dominica, or citizens, plural, cannot take a photograph or a videotape of Chinese who are working at the direction of a sovereign government on a public project, which the public, by the way, has an absolute right to know how their money is being spent.
He further stated that all Dominicans have an obligation to put their foot down and put a stop to the rot that has destroyed their democracy so they can rebuild it with freedom of association, equality of opportunity, and the liberties they hold. This is due to the sacrifices of those who came before, who wanted Dominicans to be in charge of their affairs. Christian emphasizes how imperative it is that the people take action by any means necessary within the law to put an end to the corruption that has plagued their democracy.
So we need electoral reform. And all Dominicans will have to stand or forever bear the shame of having sold out our independence, having sold out the liberty and the liberties, plural, we were birthed with due to the sacrifices of those who came before, the Maroon resistance fighters, the Kalinago warriors, the Dominican Taxpayers Association of the 1920s, with people like Cecil, Rawl, and that cohort of Dominicans who wanted Dominicans to be in charge of our affairs. And today, we are saying that all Dominicans have an obligation to, by any means necessary within the law, to put their foot down and put a stop to this rot that has destroyed our democracy, so we can now come back to joining hands to rebuilding our democracy with freedom of association, equality of opportunity, and the liberties we hold there.
Attorney Gabriel Christian. The host of Q95's Global View on Q, Sheridan Gregoire, reviews a statement by DLP regime leader Roosevelt Skerritt that has left him with many questions. He notes that Mr. Skerritt's statement concerning the delayed report of Sir Dennis Byron, to the effect that if you have only part of the report and the laws, give them to us, needs to be broken down so as to help the people gain clarity and ensure that everyone is on the same page. He emphasized the imperative for patriotic people to understand the purpose of the gathering to be held on May 31st and their rights that are being demanded. He noted that there must also be consideration given to how this gathering will impact communities. Gregoire highlights that there are different political parties in the country and that no one party should have more privilege than any other, as the need for electoral and campaign finance reforms and free and fair elections is paramount in any democratic society. It ensures that all political parties have equal opportunities, that no one party can dominate the system. Meantime, although the report on electoral reform is taking longer than expected, a snap election was held by the DLP regime, yet they say they eagerly await the phase two of the report to electoral reform consultant.
And I think we need to break it down so the people who are going to be gathering to demand their rights, what it is they're gathering for. When I listened to that statement, it sounded like the whole thing was so complicated. And in fact, I heard Mr. Skerritt said that, okay, if you have half of the laws, half of the report, give it to us. If we pay you how much money, but it's okay if you don't have to do all of it. Just give us the half you have and we are satisfied. But I'm just wondering, why is it taking so long? Why did it cost so much money? And why did you actually absolutely need a legal luminary selected by someone who has a vested interest in the electoral system? Because you have different political parties in the country. No one political party should have more interest than any other. And it seems to me, if you're going to have a level playing field, you cannot have the head of one party engaging someone to do the work of reforming the electoral system. And then later on, you're hearing, oh, well, I find the report is taking long. But at the same time, before that report comes in, you rush and have a snap election. I'm not sure I understand yet. You say you are anxious to get the results of this. But
he questions whether the apparently very elusive electoral reform that is being sought is the same as what Antigua, Jamaica, and other nations have achieved in very quick time, such as the registration of voters in Dominica. Gregoire made the observation that the big deal over knowing where you live really defies logic. He also emphasizes that residency refers to where you actually live, your normal place of abode, not the number of days spent abroad, and that should be a factor for voting eligibility. He advocated that knowing the specific factor that determines your eligibility is crucial for exercising your right to vote. There must be no ambiguity and clear clarity and complete clarity about the manner in which this information is conveyed. Gregoire emphasized the need for those promoting and demanding electoral reform to be precise in their demands and clearly articulate the specific changes they want to see. The significance of this cannot be overstated, as it is essential for everyone who is eligible to vote to have a clear understanding of the laws and the procedures for voting.
I mean, this whole question, this complication that we hear, all these allegations of bribery and treating, this business of where do people live? I mean, to me, is it a problem to know where you live? If you live in New York, you live in New York. If you live in Granby, you live in Granby. It seems to me all this complication that is coming up there about residency and so on, that really is not making sense. Everybody knows where they live. And secondly, this business of requirements for voting, shouldn't it be residency rather than the number of days you are absent from the country or something like that? Why should you be eligible to be, if you've been out of the country for less than so many days? Isn't it should be basically a straight thing about your residency, where you reside, that gives you eligibility? And clarify that, define that clearly without any ambiguity, so everybody understands clearly what that means, so that the presiding officers will know who qualifies, their name will be on the list. You don't qualify, they must do their work. So the people who are going and asking for electoral reform, I think they need to be clear as what it is exactly that they're asking for.
Host of the Global View on Q, Sheridan Gregoire. Justice Dr. Irvin Andre observes that the The Dennis Byron proposals have had to be amended to reflect the views of the political directorate. This is evident from a draft report that changed a residency requirement to say that if you spend 90 days in Dominica over 5 years, that makes you eligible to vote. This is completely baseless interpretation of Dominican laws, and it's surprising that no other Caribbean island has such a bizarre rule. He points out that the need for true electoral reform for members of the political directorate is glaringly obvious, and yet it seems to be hidden in plain sight.
The Byron proposals have had to be amended to reflect the views of the political directorate, or to reflect those who paid him to do this in the first place. We have irrefutable proof of that. Read a draft report. And in that report, residency or eligibility to the vote was based on residence, where you ordinarily reside. That was changed in a subsequent report to have all this cocomacac about if you spend 90 days in Dominica over 5 years, that makes you eligible to vote, and that establishes or meets the residency requirement. This is absolute nonsense. Tell me which other Caribbean island do you have this tomfoolery, this bogus interpretation of Dominican laws? Not a single one. So there is no mystery with respect to all this so-called delay. The answer is right there. True electoral reform to members of the political directorate is hiding in plain view.
Justice Dr. Irvin Andre. In other news this morning, Prime Minister of Barbados, Mia Amo-Motley, extended condolences to the families of children who died in the fire incident at the Madia Secondary School in Guyana. Prime Minister Motley took to Twitter and shared her disappointment over the tragic incident. She said, quote, "The news of the fire at the Madia Secondary School in Guyana, which claimed the lives of 19 children last night, is truly a tragedy beyond words." Prime Minister Motley offered to the President of Guyana, Dr. Irfan Ali, and the people of Guyana her sincere condolences and her support during this difficult time. Madia Secondary School dormitory in Guyana was engulfed in flames, tragically claiming the lives of 19 students, including a 5-year-old boy. President Ali met with the parents, guardians, and other relatives of the students affected. He also declared 3 days of national mourning of the children. Madia Secondary School is at the center of the Guyanese government's push to improve education levels in the less developed part of the country and mostly serves indigenous children. President Ali has called on all of Guyana to reach out with prayers and good thoughts to support families, friends, and fellow students grieving over the loss of 19 children during the fire at the secondary school dormitory on Sunday evening. In an address at the Umana Yana last evening at the national vigil in memory of the victims, President Ali said that collectively, our faith can move mountains. Quote, "As a people, this is a time when we should dig deep into our hearts and reach out with love and reach out with care and reach out with kind words in support of these families and communities. People from all walks of life pay tribute to the victims by laying flowers and candles." Still in other news, fighting in Sudan has forced hundreds of thousands of people to flee the country. The number of undocumented people arriving on European shores by sea has skyrocketed so far this year due to conflict, global inequality, and climate crisis. Many are risking death to make their way across the Mediterranean to Europe.
Plucked from stormy Mediterranean seas this week, these young men have escaped the fighting in Sudan. This southernmost Italian island is braced for a potentially record-breaking summer of migrant arrivals. The Sudanese sailed from Tunisia, where there's a sophisticated and profitable smuggling network. God willing, there'll be much more work compared to the past, this smuggler tells us. Last year, more than 100,000 migrants crossed the central Mediterranean, according to the European Union.
I've organized a lot of trips where things didn't go as expected because the boat was overweight, and that's why so many died. There were no life vests or inner tubes. 100 people lost their lives in 2 trips.
Lampedusa's migrant holding center, managed by a local cooperative, has struggled to handle the large volume of arrivals. So now the Red Cross has taken over, with plans to provide a more professional and humane service.
It's in charge of us to reassure them and tell them that they are safe. Because from their eyes, we realize that they need people that say to them, you are finally safe.
The smugglers say they're also improving their operations.
On a renouvelé le travail.
To stop the loss of life, we've reorganized how we work. We've got rid of the risk that might cause a boat to sink. Before, we didn't have people who could read a compass. Now we look to assign a captain who knows how to use one. And we don't overload boats anymore. It's all safety first.
Those who make it now face a more hostile reception from Italy's nationalist government. Newcomers will find it much harder to get a 2-year special protection residency permit if they don't qualify for full asylum. Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni won power last year, promising to crack down on boat migrants.
Human Rights Watch calls Italy's new immigration law repressive and inhumane. It's intended to dissuade migrants from coming here. It's not having any effect. More than 45,000 people have arrived in Italy since the start of this year. It was 12,000 in the same period last year. Bernard Smith, Al Jazeera, Lampedusa.
And that's the morning news, but first here's a recap of the headlines. United Workers' Party President Lennox Linton says the mission of the opposition forces is to liberate Dominica from the grip of individuals who claimed ownership of the country for the last 2 decades. Barbados Prime Minister Mia Amo-Motley extended condolences to the families of the 19 children who died in the fire incident at Madia Secondary School in Guyana. And undocumented people arriving in Europe by sea has skyrocketed this year due to conflicts in areas like Ukraine and Sudan, global inequality and the climate crisis, with many risking death to make their way. The news was brought to you with the very kind compliments of West Indies Communications Enterprise, and I have been your presenter, Jade George.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when